Hello and welcome to the podcast of Vineyard Church here in Maryville, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week, as well as our conversations episodes, which include interviews, special announcements, and in-depth teaching. You can visit vineyardchurch.us to learn more about us or to access the audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to see you guys this morning. My name is Sharon. I'm the executive pastor here. And I want to start out today by talking about God's blessings. I love the song we sang just now called The Blessing, don't you? It is such a good song. It's one of my favorites that we sing here. And I think it's because I just want God's blessings more than anything. Like, I want his blessings in my life and your life. About a year ago, we had this powerful moment in youth group where we sang this song and the students were all in the middle because they all kind of sit in this middle section. And then just organically, unplanned, all of the leaders sort of surrounded them in this section. And then we just had our hands up towards them and we were praying this prayer fervently, like, may God bless you and keep you. May his favor be upon you. And I remember looking up and there were just tears streaming down my face and everybody else's face. And it was such a powerful moment because at my core, that is what I want for our students and our teenagers. And when we were singing it this morning, I felt that same power that because this is what I want for you. This is what I want for you and your family and your kids' kids. I want all of you to experience God's blessings. I think we all do, right? Don't we all want to experience God's blessings? Well, the good news is that God wants that too. That's really good news. Scholars have discovered that God has made over 8,000 promises in the Bible. 8,000 promises. That is a lot of promises. And since we know, and since we just sang that God is not only a promise-making God, but he is a promise-keeping God, right? Amen? That's right. We know that when God makes a promise, we can take it to the bank. Right? We don't have anything to worry about. We know that he is going to fulfill his promise. And that is so important, you guys. It is so important because you know as well as I do that our world is riddled with worry and fear and anxiety, but none of that has to be if we could just believe in God's promises. However, it doesn't all come down to just believing. The truth is that some of God's blessings and some of God's promises first require something of us. You see, of those 8,000 promises, what we need to know is that some of them are unconditional promises. Those are promises that are going to come to be no matter what you and I do or don't do. They're unconditional. Things like when God promised to never again destroy the earth with a flood. God promised that he will write his law on our hearts. God promised that Jesus will return. Those are unconditional promises. However, some of God's promises are conditional. And conditional promises are based on our faithful obedience. It's when God says in the Bible, if you do this, then I will do that. It's when God first gives us a premise that comes before the promise. And so I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I want to know what this promise is because I want to experience his promises. Now, we're going to read about a whole bunch of them in just a moment. But first, let me ask you a question. Can you guess what God has made more promises about than anything else? Just think about it for a second. What has God made more promises about than anything else? It's not faith. It's not prayer. It's not love. It's not even salvation. Nope. It's about giving and generosity. God has made more promises about giving and generosity than anything else in the entire Bible. That should grab our attention this morning. And so we're going to read a few together just to start out. And a lot of times we stand for reading, but since there are four passages, I'm going to be easy on you. You can sit, you can relax, but you have to participate. While I read these scriptures, I want you to see if you can underline in your minds what the premise is and then what the promise is. Sound good? All right, we're going to read from Old Testament, New Testament, Proverbs. We're going to cover it all. Luke 6, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured out onto your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back. Now, I love that, like that illustration of like, whatever you give, God's going to give it back and more, and it's going to flood you, right? It's going to be so much. So what is the premise? Give. Give. What is the promise? You will receive, right? Generously, abundantly. Malachi 3, 8 through 11 says this, "Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? He says, you have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You were under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's army." So what's the premise? Tithe faithfully, give offerings. That's the premise. What is the promise? God will bless you abundantly. All right, let's do another one. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine." So what's the premise? Honor the Lord with your wealth, right? What's the promise? God will bless your businesses, your finances. Last one, Proverbs 22, 9. "The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor." The premise, be generous towards the poor. Promise, you will be blessed, right? There are so many of these that we could just keep going. We could keep going all day long, but we're going to stop there. The reason we read these today is because today, as one of our Trellis Sundays, we are talking about the practice of giving and generosity. Right now, in case you are new or if you just need a refresher, we talk about trellis because we're relating it to an actual trellis in an actual vineyard, right? If you think about an actual trellis in an actual vineyard, a trellis is the structure on which a healthy vine can grow so that it can be strong and healthy and fruitful. Does that make sense? And so as followers of Christ, we're saying we want to build our lives on a trellis because we want to grow and we want to be healthy and strong and fruitful. And so we're going to build our lives on a trellis. And a trellis is a structure of spiritual practices that the Bible teaches us to do in order to grow. And today's focus is giving and generosity. So yes, today we're talking about money. Right? Which is everyone's favorite topic. I know you might have wished you slept in now, but here you are. We are talking about money. Now, typically speaking, people don't like talking about money, just like people don't like talking about sex, right? These are things we don't like to talk about, right? A kind of a funny story is about a year ago, Amy, she's on our staff, and we love Amy, and she's always just up for anything. And she was going to preach at youth group for the first time. And I was so excited about it, but it just so happened that the date that she could preach was the date that we were going to talk about sex. And I was like, okay, Amy, you can preach, but this is the topic. And I was like, are you up for it? And she was like, yeah, let's do it. And I love it. She'll do it, whatever. And she did it. She did a great job. And the second time she preached, it was about 6 months later, she had a different topic. And she decided to start off by complaining about the first time she speaked, but it didn't come out the way she had planned. What she ended up saying was, she gets up and picture this, all the students are sitting right here and you know, they're all the most mature people possible. And she starts out her whole message by saying, "The last time Sharon asked me to talk, she gave me sex." And I'm like, my eyes are big and I'm looking around and I'm meeting eyes with some students. They're like, are we allowed to laugh at that? Like, we don't know what we're doing. Some kids went right over their head. I'm about to object, like, no, but it's Amy didn't even notice. I mean, she's in the zone. Like, she just keeps talking, and we're all, so we don't even address it. We just move on, right? And I was really proud of the students for letting us move on. And that night, it was so funny. Apparently, she was going over everything in the car with her daughter on the way home, and who's in our youth group, luckily. And she looked at her. She's like, did I say Sharon gave me sex? Yes, you did, Mom. Yes, you did. And so that is our funny story of the week. We're at staff meeting the next day. All that to say, I gave Amy the topic of sex, and Aaron gave me the topic of money today. And even though we don't like talking about these things, we need to. Because how we handle these things will have a profound impact on our spiritual lives. You see, we would love to think of these things as different, as separate, as private, as things we don't talk about with other people, not even with God, and especially not at church. But we have to remember that when we give God our lives, we give Him everything, literally everything. In the book, Live No Lies, this is a book we read together as a church about a year or two ago, John Mark Comer said this. He said, legend has it that before going into battle, the Knights Templar were baptized, but they would hold their swords above their heads as they went under the water, as if to say, Jesus, you can have all of me except this, not my violence, not my quest for glory. And so he says, legend or history, the imagery is piercing. We all do this. We might not hold up a sword. For us, it could be a credit card, a relationship, a sexual ethic, a wound, an entertainment habit, a political or even a theological position. It could be anything. But how often do we say, if not in word, but then by our actions, not this, Jesus, not this? That imagery really is piercing. It causes us to ask ourselves the question, what is it that we are holding out of the water? And if we're being honest, for a lot of people, it's money. It's money. But again, when we give our lives to God, we give Him everything. We can't say, God, you can have everything. You can have all of me. I'm all yours. Do with me what you want. Have your way in me, except when it comes to my money. We have to realize that walking with Jesus means surrendering everything to Jesus. Nothing gets to be held out of the water. That's why we can't teach about walking with Jesus, and we can't teach about spiritual growth without talking about money. Because the truth is, giving and generosity are far more spiritual issues than they are financial ones. One of my pet peeves is when churches only talk about money when they need something. You know, like, hey, we need a new roof, so let's talk about biblical forms of giving, you know, and you're like, okay, this is not that. There's no big ask coming, right? Our roof is fine. Praise the Lord. The rain tested it out this morning. This is about learning to walk with Jesus. This is about learning to grow in our spiritual practices. Giving is not supposed to be a reaction. It's supposed to be a lifestyle. Right? We are called as Christians to build our lives around giving and generosity. It's not something we do just when the mood hits. Just like we don't just pray when we have like a big need, we don't just give when something comes up or when we happen to have something left over. Giving and generosity, there are principles laid out in Scripture, all throughout Scripture, as we're going to see today, as spiritual disciplines that we're supposed to do on a regular basis as we worship God, as people who are set apart in this world. So, what does it look like? What does giving and generosity look like? Well, we're going to dive into the Word, and we're going to find out. But first, let me tell you what it's not, okay? Now, I know sometimes when we see this word giving, we like to think of it in terms of our time and our talents, right? But do you guys remember when we learned about fasting as part of Trellis? Do you remember that we learned that even though we would like to think of fasting as like giving up social media or TV, or we learned that doing that is not really fasting, that's just called abstaining. We learned that biblical fasting is in fact always about food. Right? You remember that? That was hard. Did you try it? It's hard, right? Well, it's the same with giving, right? giving our time and our talents, those are good things, but it's not called giving. Those things are called serving, and that's good. It's part of trellis. But biblical giving is always about money. It's always about material possessions. And so what does the Bible say about it? What does it look like? We're gonna look today, and we're going to find out that the Bible teaches us three ways that we are supposed to give and be generous. And it's through tithing, offering, and helping those in need. All right, now this word tithe means a tenth, okay? It's a very, very simple word. It just means one tenth. It means that God's people gave one tenth of everything they had back to God. Whether it was money or grain or crops or livestock, you name it, they give it. Whatever they made, they gave the first tenth back to God. So very simply, to illustrate it a little bit, there's 10 books here. And so let's say this is 100% of what I make, okay? This is 100% of my income. To tithe means to literally take the first 10% and give it to God. That's it. That's what a tithe is. And back in the Old Testament, it was actually required of God's people to tithe. It was actually part of the law for them. Everyone did it. It was absolutely required. We read in Leviticus 27, it says, "One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy." In Deuteronomy 14, it says, "You must set aside a tithe of your crops, one-tenth of all the crops you harvest each year. Bring the tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored." Now, tithing these days can be a really hot topic because people like to really debate about whether or not we're still required to do it today. You know, people will say, hey, it is clear that they tithed in the Old Testament. It is clear that it was required, but they were under the law. But we are no longer under the law. Well, I think it's a good point to bring up, but let's keep looking throughout the Bible to see what it has to say. It's really important to know that tithing actually predates the law. Tithing came first, far before the law. The first mention of tithing is actually found in Genesis. So in Genesis 14, we see Abram returning from winning a battle, and he is so grateful. He knows that God gave him the victory, and so he wants to worship God. And how does he do it? He gives to the high priest. It says, "Then Abram gave a tenth of everything." That's how he worshiped. In Genesis 28, it says, Jacob made this vow to God. He said, "And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me." And so you see, Abram and Jacob, they gave a tithe as an act of worship. They were grateful. They were worshipful. They wanted to honor him. They wanted to recognize his authority and his provision and his protection. And so out of gratitude, they gave him a tithe. It wasn't until later that tithe actually became a law, but it started out as just worship, not regulation. Does that make sense? It was a biblical precedent of just how we worship God. Okay, so people will say, okay, that's really interesting. But I think I mostly see this idea of tithing and giving in the Old Testament. Is it just like an Old Testament thing, or is this like a New Testament thing? Well, we learn how to tithe and give from 1 Corinthians 16. And this is when the church is being taught how to give. It says, "Now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." And this is a really clear scripture about how churches are supposed to deal with money and giving and that kind of thing. This is why we don't pass a plate. Like, we're not trying to like take up collections, right? But as God's people, we are people who are supposed to set aside a sum of money each and every week in keeping with our income. Is it the 10%? It alludes to 10%, but maybe it just means in keeping with our income, whatever that means. And we're supposed to give it to the church each and every week faithfully. Finally, someone will always ask, well, but did Jesus ever say we should tithe? You know, is this a Jesus thing? Is this a red letter thing? You know, people do that. Well, I think in Matthew 23:23, we can see that for ourselves. Jesus says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." You see, in this scripture, Jesus is confirming that we should tithe. He's like, great, you tithe, that's good. But he's telling us we shouldn't be people who just write the check and move the decimal and forget about it. But we should be people who live with our eyes open and our hands open, our hearts open, and our wallets open to help people in need. And so as a review, we see all throughout the Bible that in Genesis, a tithing was a precedent. It was set and modeled for us as an act of worship. Later, we see that it has become a law for God's people. Then in the New Testament, there's this precedent of consistent weekly giving in keeping up with our income. And then Jesus condones tithing and says, you know what? That is good and we should do even more, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But for now, I want to stay on the topic of tithing because I think it's the most challenging way to give. And I know you agree because you're all being really quiet, right? It's a little uncomfortable, right? And it's hard to do because the truth is a tithe is a lot of money. It is a lot of money. Do the math, right? Move the decimal, do the math. It's a lot of money. But the truth is it's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. You see, some people look at this and they look at this 10%, okay? And they think this is so much money. And it could be, it's different for everyone. Like my son works at Publix. I mean, him giving $15, $20 is like a lot of money to him, right? Like for you, it could be $1,500, $15,000, $15 million. I don't know what you make, but this is a lot of money. And I know it's 10%. And we can look at this and think, there is no way I am doing that. There's no way I'm giving that. I need that. I look at this and I think, I have bills to pay, right? Like, do you know how much extra I could do with this? Do you know what is on my bucket list? Like, this one's really true for us right now. I've got kids to put through college, right? Like, our son's about to be a senior, and we're starting to look at those numbers. It's a little scary, and I'm looking at this 10% like, this could be helpful, right? Or another one for me, I'm like, I'm a saver in the family. I'm the saver. And I'm like, do you know how much peace and how much sense of security I would have if that amount of money was sitting in my savings account right now, right? We look at this number and we think this is nuts. And seriously, the idea of tithing might seem really outrageous to you. I get it. It is an outrageous thing to do. It is a radical thing to do, especially if you've never been taught about it, or if you weren't brought up to give in that way, or if you've just avoided it most of your life. It can be shocking. And from a worldly point of view, you guys, it is outrageous. But why do you think this 10% is such a significant, life-giving spiritual practice? Why do you think it matters? Well, I'll tell you, it's because first and foremost, the very first commandment that God gives is you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. And then I love it because in the New Testament, Jesus spells it out for us even more plainly. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. And then if that's not plain enough, he says, by the way, you cannot serve both God and money. See, Jesus is calling it out. He's calling it out. See, faithfully giving money back to God on a regular basis is important for us spiritually because money wants to master us. Money wants to be our God. And I know that can sound crazy, but think about it. Think about it just for a minute. Think about all of the things that we turn to money for, all of the things that we put our hope and our trust in money for. We turn to money for help, for hope, for safety, for security, for enjoyment, for validation, for joy, for our worth, for success, for identity. We turn to money to meet our needs, our wants, our hopes, our dreams. We turn to money to empower us to do things. But guys, Those are all things that we are supposed to turn to God for, not our money. We are to look to God and rely on God and put our trust in God to provide all of those things, not in this measly 10%. Is this really where I'm putting my hope and my trust? I'm not even looking to this 90% for that, right? My hope is in God to provide, not any of this. Because the reason money is such a spiritual issue is because it's a trust issue. It's a faith issue. It's like, who am I looking at to provide for my needs? 2 Corinthians 9 says this, it says, "For God loves a person who gives cheerfully." And think about it. How does a person give cheerfully? You give cheerfully when you know God's going to provide, when you're not afraid, right? And just so happens, verse 8 says, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." So once again, we see this premise. The Bible says, if you give cheerfully, the promise, God will provide for all of your needs and give you enough to share. You guys, so tithing, it might sound crazy. It might sound crazy, but here's the thing. You are actually right now surrounded by people who tithe. You are surrounded by people who give in this way and give even more. Why? Because our trust is in God and not in our bank accounts. And here's the thing, when you do this, when you give a tithe as a lifestyle, your whole perspective changes. It just shifts. It's like no longer will you be looking at this 10% and kind of sweating it out going, oh my goodness, how could I? This is a lot of money. Every time I catch myself thinking this is a lot of money, you know what I do? I look back at that stack and think, oh my gosh, God, I get to live on all that? That is amazing. And I feel so incredibly blessed. And I am so incredibly blessed because I thought this was a lot. And then I look back and I think, God, you have so blessed us. Guys, that's how I want you all to feel. That's how I want you to be. I want you to be blessed. You cannot imagine the peace that comes when your trust is in God and not in your money. It is incredibly, incredibly freeing. It is why people don't just give, you know, the minimum. It's why people just, giving is like contagious. It's like they want to keep giving and keep giving. I know several people like my age, normal people who feel so blessed that they don't just, you know, increase their tithe as their income increases, but every year they actually increase the percentage. They're like, next year our goal is 11%. Next year it's 12%. Next year it's 13%. And these are just like regular people. Right? Then you have someone who I don't know personally, but is incredibly inspiring. Do you guys all know Rick Warren? He is the pastor of Saddleback Church. He wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. It sold like 50 million copies or something like that. Well, he and his wife, they actually have made so much money that they are reverse tithers. They don't just give 10% and live off the 90. They actually give 91% of their income away and live off of 9. And God just keeps blessing them. In an interview, he was asked, like, why do you think God chose you to write, you know, that book? And he was like, I think God knew what we would do with the money. And he's like, and God just keeps blessing us and keeps blessing us. He's like, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. He's a generous God. And we're supposed to be generous just like our Father. Now, you might think, man, if I had all that money, I'd give it away too. Right? Has anyone ever thought that? Or like, okay, here's the hard truth. Biblically speaking and statistically speaking, you probably wouldn't. Because the statistics show that the more money people make, the less generous they are. And that's a sad thing. And again, I think that's why percentages matter. I think that's why God gave us this like number so we would even understand what it looks like, you know? Because really, the more people make, the less generous they are. And even in Luke 16, a couple of verses right before Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters, he says, it's only those who are faithful with what they have now that will be faithful with what they have when they have more. It's only if you're faithful with what you have now that you'll be faithful with what you have when you get more. I think there's so many times it's like, oh, well, I'll give when, I'll give then when, and all this stuff. And he's like, no. If we're faithful now, we'll be faithful then. So listen, here's the deal. If you have never tithed and this is scary to you and your heart's pounding or you just want to go get lunch, I don't know. I want you guys to just pray about it. I want you to talk to God about it. Nothing gets held out of the water. We talk to God about it. We say, God, it's all yours. Look at your budget. Talk to your spouse. Talk about what it means to tithe. And as you do, I want you to know this. Everyone, all eyes on me. This is really, really important. I want you to hear this. All throughout the whole Bible, God tells us not to put him to the test. He says, do not test me. Do not put the Lord your God to the test, except for this one thing. Except this one thing. He says, you can test him on tithing. That's powerful. Malachi 3:10, remember it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. He says, try it. Put me to the test. That's powerful. There are stories upon stories of people who have done this. They have tested God in this, and they have experienced his incredible faithfulness. I could go on and on. There are several in our lives, but I remember when we first moved here to plant a church, we were young, 20s. We were excited that we had $15,000 to our name, all because God provided that in the first place, but we had $15,000 to our name. We move in with Aaron's grandma in his basement, and we try to take odd jobs here and there. And as we're just basically, you know, taking on these little jobs, we're whatever comes in, we're faithfully giving back. We're faithfully giving at least the 10%. And it didn't make a lot of sense because what we were doing is we had to live off of our savings. Like we didn't even have enough to make things work, but we were still giving to God and our savings was dwindling. And we're like, by faith, we're going to keep doing this. And it was such a miraculous thing because right as our money was running out, like we were at savings account zero. It was December. And that January, the church was able to start paying Aaron a little bit of a stipend. And we were celebrating and we were so excited and we're like, we made it and we're high-fiving. God is so good. And then we get a phone call and it's one of my mom's friends. And she says, I don't know, but God just led me to give you guys $15,000. And I was, yes, you can clap. That's the Lord, right? And I just looked at Aaron and I was like, well, now he's just showing off. Right? Like he not only met our needs, but he replenished all of our savings. And guys, let me tell you, like we did not give $15,000 to the church that year. Like we did not make 150 grand that year. Like, I don't know. Like that is not what happened, but God gave it back and so much more. I know there's a guy in our church who started giving and he owns his own company. And he was like, I just feel so blessed. I love giving. And he was like, I don't want to just give from what I take home. I want to give on our company. Our company is going to tithe. Guys, God has blessed his company in such incredible ways. It is growing. It is booming. And he just can't wait to start the next one because he knows that God is in this. After the sermon at the first service, I had all these people come up and be like, oh my goodness, I have so many stories. I have so many stories. I'm like, oh, I wish we could tell them all. The point is that God provides. And the point is that God provides so much more than this 10% ever could. We have to take him at his word and we have to trust God. Now, here's the thing. Do not like misunderstand me, okay? We do not give in order to receive. That is not our heart. I don't give to receive. I give to worship, okay? But biblically and like in practically, when we give, we do receive. It's just fascinating. Now, we're almost done. We've got two more, but these are really short, okay? That was the hard one, all right? But God teaches us that we should give through tithing and through offering. Now, offering. All throughout the Bible, there were special offerings that were given above and beyond the tithe. Okay? And so all throughout the Old Testament, whenever people just felt extra grateful or extra worshipful, or they wanted to meet an extra need, they would then bring extra offerings. They were called free will offerings, thanksgiving offerings, building offerings. Like, I love that we know that, because there's precedent for all these things that we do. And that's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there's plenty of examples. Like in Acts 4, there's this man named Joseph, and he had a piece of land, and he decided to sell the whole property, and he brought all of the funds to the disciples and laid it at their feet. And he just wanted them to have it. He wanted to encourage them. He wanted to fuel and fund the ministry of the gospel. And then we have Luke 21, where the widow has 2 coins to her name, and she gives it all to Jesus. She gave 100%. To the Lord. You guys see, sometimes churches, they get a bad rap. They think all they want is your money, and all they talk about is money. And if you are a visitor, I promise that's not true. This is just today. Okay. But here, it's so important to understand there is biblical precedent for all these things. We're not doing anything not biblical. We're not doing anything weird. The Bible says that we are supposed to give on a regular basis. And the Bible says, yes, extra offerings, building funds, mission funds, selling land, all this is all a thing. When it's all worship and it's all going to further the work of the kingdom, then it is all good. You see, the Pharisees who just moved the decimal and thought they were done with it, that's what Jesus rebuked them for. He's like, yeah, that's great, but there's more. You can't just do the minimum. He said, you tithe good, but what about everything else? What about everything else there is to do? What about everyone else who needs help? That is why special offerings are a thing. That is why helping people in need is a thing. So number 3 is helping those in need. 3 quick verses. 1 Timothy 6, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. Proverbs 28, those who give to the poor will lack nothing. Acts 2, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. You guys, God always wants us to share, to be compassionate, to help people who need it. I can't look at this stack and hoard it and think, well, this is all mine. Like, I did my duty, but this is mine. You can't have it, right? I'm supposed to look out in the world and think, who else needs help? I am so blessed. I am still able. I can help. I am still able. God, what can I do? God, I know that I am blessed to be a blessing. I'm not blessed to sit around and just think about how blessed I am all the time. I am blessed to be a blessing. That's why we have things like One Day to Feed the World, which is coming up. We have must-have gifts. We give to support hurricane victims. We give money to the Box. We give money to foster care. We make meals for people. The vision of our church, you guys, is to walk with Jesus and love your neighbor. And if you do that, you'll be led. The Spirit will lead you to help and give and be generous. He just will. All right, so those are the 3 ways the Bible teaches us to give, through tithing, offerings, and helping those in need. Now, as the band comes up and gets ready to close us out, first, I want to take a minute and commend you. This is a really generous church. Again, this message is not in reaction to anything. Like, we are making budget. We are over budget. This is not in reaction to a need. This is part of Trellis. This is how we are supposed to build our spiritual lives so that we can grow and be strong and be healthy and be fruitful. And so first and foremost, I want to commend you. This is a very generous church. We're always in awe of your generosity and your faithfulness. But I also want to challenge you, because just like all the spiritual practices that we talk about, some are easier for us than others, right? And we all have room to grow in this area. We all have room to grow. And so I want you to take a minute and think, how can I grow in this area of giving and generosity? Maybe it's tithing. Maybe you really do need to test God in it once and for all. Or maybe just that word or the 10% just sounds really legalistic and it's triggering you on some level, whatever that is. Pray about how you can give in keeping with your income. pray about how you can give in keeping with your income. And maybe you're good at tithing. Maybe you've got that, okay? But maybe you're supposed to grow in offering, you know? And I fully admit there are times, you want to hear like my sinful ways? I'm like, okay, to God, I tithe, I do. I'm going to let everyone else give to this other stuff. And God's like, nope, right? We don't just move decimals. We don't just give. God's like, if you can respond, I want you to respond. Okay, Lord, I need to grow in that. Maybe you do that really well, and maybe you just need to grow in helping people in need. Is there a single mom at the grocery store struggling? Is there money you can give to the box? Is there ways that you can help people? The church, we always say that whatever it is, our giving is supposed to be radical, and this is all radical. It's supposed to be sacrificial. It's okay if it hurts a little, and it's supposed to be spirit-led. And guys, it's challenging. I know it's challenging, but this matters. Giving matters. And so as your pastor, I want you to put giving and generosity into practice for your sake. Hear me on this. This is important. Because again, it's just part of building our lives on a trellis. We want to grow. We want to be healthy. We want to be fruitful. As much as I see how fruitful it is when people give, and I see it, I get to see it. I'm always behind the scenes in awe of how there's so much more we can do together than I could ever do on my own. I mean, look at this place. Look at what we're doing. It's incredible. God takes what we have and he multiplies it. But that's a whole nother sermon. So as much as I can see how incredibly fruitful it is when God's people give, I can honestly say that I want you to give for your sake, for you, more than for what your money can do. I want you to give for you. Does that make sense? I believe God has so many blessings. I believe that God has so much freedom for you. That when we just say, oh, yes, God, yes to the premise, and then we just watch him fulfill his promise. So we're going to go into our time of Selah right now. And so I just encourage you to bow your heads, and we're going to pray and take some time to come before the Lord with this. Because again, God, you know everything. You know our hearts. You know our lives. You know our wants, our needs, our responsibilities, the pressure. You know the number in our bank account. You know it all, God. But God, we ask ourselves, like, do we really want to experience all of your blessings? Do we really want to experience all of your promises? Then God, what is holding us back from fulfilling the promise? God, help us not let money be the thing that we hold out of the water. Help us not feel shameful or condemned or anything like that. Lord, we're not in trouble. You are just teaching us, God. You are teaching us that there is a better way. You are teaching us that there is more when we trust you, when we give it all to you. So God, help us trust you. Help us test you in this. You said we can. So let's help us test you in this, God. Lord, have your way in us. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Teach us to be more like you in every way. Help us not to have any other gods before you. Help us not put anything else above you. And God, I pray that we would be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word today, but that we would be doers of the word, that you would move us to action, Lord Jesus. Have your way, God. In Jesus' name.